Anybody got any testimonies this week? Something the Lord has done for them? Anybody?
Sorry, I'm bringing sugar around. I'm so sorry.
Sugar around, that's very good. That's a blessing right there. Anybody?
I'm going to chase down the sugar.
Okay, it's probably sort of a several thing, but I called Frontier up to tell them I was going to disconnect from them. And 45 minutes later, I had signed up for 2 more years at Frontier. And I got off the phone. I was very upset with this, and I thought, what's happened here? I have no control. So 2 days later, I called them back, and I just said, the Lord just put on my heart to tell them truthfully why I didn't want it. And I felt like a fool, but I said, you know what? I said, I could be reading the Bible, reading scripture, I could be praying, I could be doing a lot of other things, but I'm a weak person, and I'm sitting here watching your stupid television, and I don't want it in my house anymore. And if I've got dead silence, and he said, we'll take care of me right away. He sent me to one more person, I had to share the story with her, still feeling a little foolish. And I'm disconnected.
Well, now we got the rest of the crew here. We're going to start singing, start praising. It's wonderful to have Ethan Hudson joining us today on the keys. We need to remember to lift up Josh and Amy and their family, as Josh is and the family is mourning the loss of his father. So that's what they're attending to this week, and so just keep them in your prayers as well. But in worshiping the Lord, I'm honored to have Olivia and Natalie joining me up here today. So, and of course, you know, we're definitely amateurs, so we need everybody to sing out loud. So, girls, why don't you grab your mics? And you need to get your own.
I don't know how early you had to get up and how quick you are.
Yeah. It takes a couple minutes.
Moving close.
Yep.
I love your t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. Lord Jesus, we invite you right now to come into this place. Father God, I pray that you will purify our hearts and you will purify our minds. Lord, we pray that we can focus on you. You would be inhabit the praises of your people this day. Father God, we pray for those that are en route still and for those that cannot be here this day. Just meet them, bless them where they are right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
There's nothing worth more than never come close. Nothing can compare.
There's nothing worth more.
Perfect in all of your ways. To us, our story.
Father, to you are, it's who you are.
To go over this morning, so let's do that. And we'll start off with we've got tons of bread. We had something delivered. We literally had hundreds of loaves here Thursday night and filling up multiple aisles, but we had so many people here Thursday night and then from the school. All that's left is here. So if you like rye or pumpernickel bread, feel free to take, you know, 20 loaves. You are welcome to it. It's just a gift in Jesus' name. We also have Panera bread, and you know those real expensive, yummy, tasties. They're all back there. Take them home. Take them with you free in Jesus' name. We just want you to have it. We just want to give it to you. We don't take up tithes and offerings here. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated or cajoled or guilted into giving. If you want to give, there's a tithe box back in the back. It looks like a little bird box because he feeds the birds in the air. He provides the lilies in the field, and he provides for us. And so your tithe to the Lord can go back in there in that little bird box. I want to say something, family, really quickly. We've got so many people that are gone today. for so many different reasons. I want to mention one thing. Yeah, that's wow. That was I'm gonna be cute. That is one of the reasons that Holy Smoke Barbecue for Salt House is today, and there's a bunch of folks serving out there at the car show trying to raise money for the pregnancy center, the Salt Pregnancy Center. And so we just pray that gets blessed in Jesus' name. But since I at least have some of you here, I want to at least share this with you. And so I don't even know how to say it, so we're going to give the right words. Okay, I want to share with our extended family, which is you guys, okay? We are going to be taking in and have the custody of a couple of wonderful children that we will be taking into our home.
Yay.
It could be for days, could be weeks, could be months, actually could be years. And so they will be here probably Thursday night for you Thursday night folks too. So and Sunday. So if you would just, no need to get into any details with them. Just love on them. You guys are so loving and you're so kind and you guys are so welcoming of a church. Just make them feel at home if you would. And then pray like Dickens for us. See my eye twitching. And so we might need extra help in ministry areas. Let me rephrase that. We already do need extra help in ministry areas. So now we really need you to pray and step forth in faith and help in more areas. So that's just something that I would ask you to pray for us and pray about and just make those wonderful kids feel welcome. Liz, is there anything else I should say other than that? Anything?
No, we're just, we're going from a household of 7 now to 9.
Yes.
So just pray for our household. Just
yes.
Wisdom of everything that needs to be done when that takes place. So.
Yes. Yeah, lots of wisdom.
Lots of wisdom.
And lots of patience.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The kids, Lisa, how old are the children?
13 and 10.
Boy and girl?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
A 10-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Do you need anything for them?
We don't know yet.
We don't even know.
Still kind of new to us. We will, but we're not sure yet.
For them, under the circumstances. I just want to share that
with
you guys. We love you. We're so very thankful for you guys. You help in so many ways. But, if the Lord's stirring you to help in more, please let us know. Also, continue to pray for those. There are a bunch of people are out there today. Also, we've got 75 Bibles that are going out to Laura's Pregnancy Center, and I have more Bibles in my car. So don't let me forget to give them to you. I know you took some home with you. So that's what you guys are doing. You're giving the word out to all these girls, and we're doing it free in Jesus' name. So I thank you for that. The word of God is going out of here. It's awesome. Also, let me see. Are they here today? That is so funny. One day I'm going to mention it. Maybe they're gone. Okay. Well, okay. They asked me to do this.
They're not here yet.
Okay. So, for those of you who don't know, Nick is one of the guys who got baptized. You were at the house. One of the guys who got baptized last week, right? Mm-hmm. Last week.
Two weeks ago.
We got so many people getting baptized. Anyway, 2 weeks ago. And so, basically, they are going to be getting married. They've been going through months of counseling, Christian counseling, coming over for hours at night, getting into the Word. And anyway, they started coming here, and make a long story short, this was kind of a last-ditch effort. They've had some horrific experiences with churches, I'll just say churches. And so they'd kind of given up, and they just thought that they would just try this as a last-ditch effort. And you guys were so wonderful and welcoming, and they heard the word, and they hated it but loved it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were getting convicted, but they also knew that God was speaking to them about stuff. And anyway, they came to me, and they said, you know what? They've been living together for years, and they just said, you know what? We realize we're not honoring the Lord. They have family and kids, and we're not honoring the Lord. We're not doing what's right by Him. And after listening and coming here, and we're realizing we're not honoring the Lord. And so we want to get married, and we want to honor God in our marriage and with our lifestyle. I'll just say that. And so they wanted to get married Saturday, November 18th, which is in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And they just wanted to extend an invitation. They're going to get married here. And they just want to invite you guys. There's no obligation. They said, please tell them. They don't have to. Don't let them feel guilty or obligated. We just want to make sure if you want to come, you guys, they're so thankful for you guys. They just want to invite you. And if anybody wants to help, I don't know, with like a potluck thing or help with a little bit of food, maybe see Amanda Panda. I think I saw her somewhere at some point today. Okay. So, yeah, so anyway, they just wanted to invite you out. They wanted to share that testimony, what God's doing in their life. And you should just see them. It's just amazing what God's done in a short period of time in their lives. So, anyway, you're invited to that. Also, yes?
We know Nick's name. What's her name?
Ashley.
Ashley.
And yes. What time?
Ashley.
Time?
Right. At what time? So important, that question.
You'll let us know next week.
I will let you know next week. There's a lot of stuff happening. So, yes, and it will be at a certain time. Everybody knows. Oh, I'm sorry. And you know what? If anybody, you know those time with God is right here today? He's out just serving as well. Ray? Okay. Ray's going to. Okay, I will save this for next week. But anyway, we have some Time with God New Testament devotionals that we're bringing in. It's basically we'll take you through the New Testament in 1 year. It's with some great commentaries from folks like Beth Moore and Billy Graham and stuff like that. But it just, some folks here have read through, it's helped people to read through the New Testament. Because folks don't even know what the Word says today. We live in scary times. And so they're blown around by every wind of doctrine. We want you to know the Word. Hide it in your heart. So anyway, we'll talk about that next week. He was going to share a testimony. You guys know about sermons online, Lunar Library. You know about this morning. And I have a confession to make. I didn't tell anybody about the time change because I was hoping more people would get here early and pray. Just saying. Okay, so that's Sunday mornings. If you want to come and pray. Also, Gary is not here and Mark's not here either.
No.
Okay. Well, we have a men's Bible study. It's going to be on 2 Samuel. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And as we have dinner here Tuesdays at 6 p.m. If you're a guy, be here. And you can enjoy some dinner with us and then the Word afterwards. And that's on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have the Transformers with Josh and Amanda Panda. And that's 6:30 to 8:30 right here at Home Fellowship Church. And you can talk to them for more detail. And then Thursday night, Bible study. Mark's been going through a really great series, and I think he's got one or two more about Christ in us and us in Christ, and so that's from 6 to 8 on Thursday night Bible studies, and that's been packed and great. And then Shepherd's Art Christian School, I keep putting this off, but I just want to just encourage you. We have a mentoring program that we do with, and you guys are a part of that, because the school would be able to survive if it wasn't for you guys and your giving and whatnot. We have a mentoring program with the high school kids, and where we take them out, we talk to them about the Lord, and make it personal. And so Uncle Tom does it, and I do it, but I've been so busy that Uncle Tom's been doing it most of the time. So I went in on the rotation. It was the first time I did it, and I took out one of the kids, and I took out one of the kids that talks the least. Okay, he's a great kid, but, you know, we've even known him for years. So he doesn't talk a lot, so I brought him out to Chick-fil-A, and I just said, you know, what's God doing here? Well, how's your time at the school? He's like, well, to be honest, he's like, when I first came, I was really nervous, you know, and I didn't know what it was going to be like. But, you know, he's like, and then he just flooded me. So he goes, I wasn't trying to push him or manipulate him. I just said, what? I love this school. The teachers are so, I mean, just went into all this stuff and just, he must have said it like 3 times. I said, well, okay, but what are some things that you'd like to see change or some things that, you know, where God's, I love it. I just really love it. I can't. And he was just, it was an amazing, wonderful time. And so I just gathered up a couple of pictures of some of the kids because you don't see what's going on. This is Miss Flo Summers. I used to work with her years ago at another school when I was administrator there. And that's some of the littler guys. At our school. This is just one of our, it's just a little STEM class that we have with some of the kids. This is new. This is the what do you call them? I'm going to call them average age kids. What do you call them?
Average
age. You think this is easy? Get up here.
Third through sixth grade.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And that's what those are the older kids, okay? We had for
Come as your favorite character.
Come as you, right. This is my favorite. You can't really see. Maybe I have a better picture. Isabella came as her mom. This is exactly how her mom and her mom came as Isabella and hunked out. Is that hilarious?
That's funny.
Wait,
not me.
Okay. Check him out. Is that not hilarious? And here's my voice on pump days. I had to get there.
That's cute.
Okay, again, please pray. This is from October.
July 30th.
Was it?
Sorry, that date sticks in my head like it was
Amen.
Yesterday.
Okay, October 30th. Well, we had some wonderful people get baptized, okay? And we just had some folks get baptized.
22nd.
Thank you. So we want you to please pray for them and help them to grow. It was an amazing, amazing time. And, okay, we have another baptism as more people came forth, and they want to get baptized. They want to do it at the beach. So I know you guys are exhausted for doing so much, but we want to invite you. So next Sunday after church, we have another three people getting baptized.
Wow.
Two for the first time, and they're giving their hearts and lives over to the Lord, and then one is a rededication of a man who's just wants to do it all for the Lord, and God's changing his life and his family, and so that's going to be next week. We'll have hot dogs. It'll be at the beach. I don't know if Nate or Tom, I don't remember the beach. South Coquina, exactly, like Nate says. So we'll all kind of caravan, so you guys can dress down in our church. Can you believe it? So you can wear, you know, dress down. We'll just all go caravan over there if you guys want to come, okay? We would love you to be a part of that. You can pray over the people, have a word of encouragement, word of knowledge, word of prophecy, whatever God gives you. It was great.
They're not calling for a hurricane, so it should be a little bit.
Right. That's correct. So that's exactly right. Okay. So now that's it. Is that it? Okay, so we are in the book of Colossians. If you could open up your Bibles to the New Testament in the book of Colossians, we finally got there. All right? We are in chapter 2. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He is the substance, the supremacy, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand, and Michael will get one right to you. As you're turning there, Paul was in, never visited Colossae, but it was a town about 100 miles east of Ephesus, and the church was probably established as a result of Paul going to Ephesus, you can read about that in Acts chapter 19, but it had been a prosperous commercial center, but by Paul's day it kind of diminished, and remember we keep showing you the ruins of those three cities, Hierapolis and Colossae and Laodicea. And so while Paul was writing this letter from prison, as you'll see, Paul was basically, there was a guy by the name of Epaphras who came from Colossae, who founded the church there. And he was reporting of a problem that was developing there. There was lots of people coming from the east, lots of influence from the west, lots of Jewish tradition trying to make its way into Christ, a lot of Eastern mysticism, a lot of people making Jesus less than who he was, trying to discount the word of God, what does it really matter, adding, subtracting, dividing the body of Christ. And so Paul was writing this letter to say who Jesus is. You remember, he is the icon, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him, you know, all things were made. He holds all things together. Remember that? You know, it's an awesome, awesome time. And so we made it all the way up to Colossians chapter 2.
7.
Right. I think we finished up with 7. And last week we talked about basically how you can recognize false teachers and cults. We told you to be on your guard. We told you about an axe. How Paul said that when I leave, people are going to come from without and try to water down your faith. They're going to try to lead you after themselves. You know how many pirates there are, pirate churches? They're trying to hoard the money, the attention on themselves, on their church, on the pastor. It's all about me. It's all about our church. It's all about our denomination. Who cares about that stuff? Honestly, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's Him who saves you. It's Him who you would live for. It's about Jesus, nothing else. Jesus. Thank you. I don't know what that is, but apology. Correct. Okay. Probably my notes. Whatever. We don't need those things. Ezeret Hashem, with God's help. So we talked about that. We talked about, Charles Spurgeon saying, the time is coming when shepherds will, instead of shepherds feeding the sheep the word of God, the churches will have clowns entertaining the goats. They're going to be all, woohoo, yay, we love God. But they're going to have no depth. They're going to have no roots. They're not going to be, blown around by every wind of doctrine. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing today. People don't even know what the Word of God says for themselves. They don't even read the Word of God. That's why it's so important. I love that you guys are out at these Bible studies. Keep going. Keep doing it. Keep getting the Word in you. But take the Word home. Open the Bible for yourself. If you don't know what to do, start in the New Testament. Take one book in the New Testament. Open it up. Read one chapter a day. Every time you ask the Holy Spirit, you ask God, will you personally speak to me? Now, you might not feel anything the first time. You keep doing it. And you pray. You say, Lord, will you speak to me? Lord, will you reveal something? And as you go, chapter a day keeps the enemy at bay, and two or more will kick him out of the door. Just let that word get into you. Read it, chew it, meditate it. Ask God to speak to you. You know? Preach the word in season and out. We told you how, reported on Christianity Today, that 85% of the cults, the Mormon cult, Latter-day Saints, come from Christians who didn't really know the word, and they were led astray. We told you from the Pew Research, 65% of Jehovah's Witnesses are converts that were raised in the evangelical faith because they thought they knew, but they didn't really know the Word of God for themselves. You know? And we talked about cults and deceivers. This is what they do. First thing they do, they always add to God's Word, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the Book of Mormon. You've got the Jehovah's Witnesses has to have their own translation where it lessens who Jesus is. You know, but God says that every word of God is true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words lest He rebuke you and you be found or proved a liar. You can trust in whatever you want to trust in, but as for me and my house, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Word. I'm going to trust in His Holy Spirit. That's where I'm making my stand. And times are coming where stuff is getting washed over. People are getting washed out to sea by the winds of the world. The next thing these cults do, besides add to the Word of God, you remember they subtract from who Jesus is, right? They make Him always less than who He is. Oh, He's Michael the Archangel. Oh, He's just one of God's spirit children, you know? We don't want you to be deceived. If anyone preaches to you another Jesus than the one you find in the Word of God, then you know what? Let him be eternally condemned, Galatians says. They multiply the requirements of salvation. It's a free gift from God. You guys remember that. I won't go into that. You know, for grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourself. This is a gift of God, okay? Not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. It's all about Jesus. And then lastly, they divide the body of Christ, okay? You know, I think of the branch. See, I almost said it by accident. In making fun, this is, do I say it? No. Okay. But the branch Davidians, do you remember that little cult group, right? They followed him, right? And they started following. Well, the Bible's important, but it's not, they gotta follow this guy. And what some folks actually left, during that in Waco, Texas, that 51-day standoff that they had, but according to Brian Sage of the FBI, Koresh had been leaving. The folks who had left told the Branch Davidians that, hey, you're free to go. You're free to go. But you need to realize that if you leave, you're leaving your eternal salvation here and you're going out to the beast. That's your decision, though. And so, if you guys know the story, days later, 75 of them died in the horrible fire. And even as the flames began to spread and their death was imminent, you know, no one fled. No one tried to escape. They couldn't have known what the word says themselves. They were manipulated. They were divided. It's Jesus. Folks, there is one way. There's not many ways. It's open to everyone. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father but by me. It's Jesus. That's it. Talked about walking with Jesus and how you can't stay where you're at and walk with Jesus at the same time. Okay, I'm going to skip some of this stuff because it's just too long. And lastly, in 2:7, we talked about how God wants to let our roots grow down into Him and into the Word of God so that they're deep, they won't be blown over when the wind hurricane comes, and let our lives be built up in Him, bearing fruit. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth as you were taught. In the truth as you were taught. And you'll overflow with thankfulness. So this is where we start the next verse, verse 8 of Colossians chapter 2. Somebody, if you have a microphone, if you wouldn't mind reading that verse with us real quickly.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ.
Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, so this is basically what this says. I sent this out as a text, so if you didn't get it, see me. I want to make sure you get these scripture texts. But verse 8 starts off and says, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive. And that word captive in Greek, it really means to seduce. It means to lead off. When the enemy would come into a land, right, they would take it over. You know what they would do? They would take all the treasure with them, right? Or they would take the people as slaves. So that word captive, he's saying, don't let them seduce you. Don't let them carry you off. Don't let the world and its ways and its ideas take you as a captive, as a slave, as a treasure. Don't do that. It says, in verse 8, it says, don't see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. And I really like that. You know, when I think of something hollow, I don't know if you guys have ever seen these. Okay? Right? What are these called? Russian
nesting dolls.
Nesting dolls. Funky name. Well, this is a perfect illustration to me of the world and the worldly wisdom. Because you can open it up. It looks beautiful, right? It looks so attractive, doesn't it? Well, I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying. So, okay, and you open it up, right? And wow, look at that. The inside is so cool. There's another one. And, you know, it's so beautiful. And you open it up, and you get the idea. There's another one. For the sake of illustration, we won't go through them all. But you know what happens in the very end? As you get down to the next one, it is what?
Hollow.
It's empty. The world has nothing for you. It looks attractive. It looks wise. It has all this sort of, but it's hollow. It's empty. There's really nothing in it. You keep opening up. Oh, there's another one. Wow, this is so deep. You know, so deep. Think of those of you, even just who are older. Have you ever listened to some of your old songs? Like when you were young that you listened to and you thought, man, that was so deep. And now you're thinking, it's nothing. You know, yes, it's empty. That's the world for you. It's hollow. And that's what God's word is saying to you. It's saying don't let anyone take you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy. And guys, we talked about this last time, but here, I don't have the verse. It's 1 Timothy.
He's got it right here.
4:1.
Okay, yes, that's right. Who said that? Ooh, yes, your name. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:1, where it says this. It says the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times, in end times, when we're living in them, right, that some will abandon the faith, and they're going to follow deceptive spirits and things taught by demons. I don't know why it doesn't say that, how it got cut off. Maybe I just put it on there right. But they're going to follow deceptive teachings and people, and they're going to be taught by demons. They're going to follow that deceptive philosophy. And so when I think about all that, you have to understand that the world's ways are different from the Lord's ways. And I don't even know how to say this, really. The world's going one way, and God's going another. Now, philosophy in itself isn't bad. The Greek word is philosophia, and it just means the love of wisdom, okay? Right? Now, is all wisdom bad?
No.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. But there's a pattern to it. There's principles of this world that are going in one direction. It's the opposite way of Jesus. And then there's his word and his heart that's going in a totally different direction. This is kind of how I see it. You know, the Bible puts it this way. And I'll have it for you in this next verse. But, you know, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. It's the world's trying to captivate you, trying to form your mind, trying to form your thoughts, your belief system. What's okay? What's not okay? What's acceptable? What's not acceptable, right? Given that marriage thing, right? They thought they were doing just hunky-dory fine. Well, they start reading the Word, and it's like, wow, we're not doing fine at all. In fact, we're doing pretty bad. We're doing the wrong things. We got the wrong heart. We got the wrong direction. Now, if they listen to the world, they're doing wonderful. But when they look at the Word, they're realizing, oh, gosh, God, I'm not honoring you at all. You're going a different way, and I want to go your way. Nick at the baptism just said, you know, I just want to follow the Lord now. You know, I don't want anything else. I want to follow Christ. That's the direction he wants to go for his family. And I say, praise God to that. There's a way that seems right, but in the end leads to death. There's a wisdom that comes from man. That's going a total different direction. There's deceiving spirits. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. James 3:15 says that worldly wisdom, that kind of wisdom, doesn't come down from heaven, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. The enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's trying to lead you the opposite way of Jesus Christ. And so think about this. Think about every billboard you see. Think about every commercial, every TV show. Think about every magazine you pick up. Think about every conversation with an unsaved person or even some saved people that don't know any better. It's all going the wrong way. You've got so much continually flooding your mind. Emails, text, Twitter. I don't even know what Twitter is. But, you know, it's the news media, entertainment. It's all pushing you the opposite way of God. Right?
Well, it's meant to.
Right. There's a spirit behind it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world, as high and mighty and sounding and as pretty as it looks, you know, is foolishness in God's sight. It's empty. Hollow. I was going to throw this, but then I got behind. I just realized that. Dramatic effect. It says it's foolishness in his sight. And he'll catch those wise men in their craftiness. There's going to be a time of reckoning one way or another. You just have to choose who you're going to trust and who you're going to follow. I'm not saying follow me. I'm not saying follow Home Fellowship Church. You need to follow the Lord. You need to trust his word. If you can't do that, you have nothing. If you can't follow Jesus and his word, you have nothing. It's hollow, empty. You're taking captive. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The world will even say the message of the cross is foolishness, right? Huh, you're a Christian. Oh, yeah, you need that kind of crutch, whatever. Yeah, I need the crutch. I need the Jesus. I need the Lord. The message of the cross is foolishness. It says to those who are perishing. Hello! Maybe not that part. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The Holy Spirit comes into me and he changes my thoughts and my life, my attitude, my thinking, as it's washed with the water of the Word, and dirt comes out of it and the good stuff comes in. Even 1 Corinthians 1:25 says the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Whatever you think is the wisest, coolest, most amazing thing that humans can come up with, it's foolishness to God. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. But listen, the bottom line is Proverbs 21:30 says, no human wisdom or understanding or plan is going to stand against the Lord. If you stand on his word, he's going to take care of you. He'll be your rock. He'll be your refuge. He'll be your ever-present help in times of trouble. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, that's where you're really going to get wisdom and knowledge. That's what Proverbs 9:10 says. That's where it all begins. Even Paul telling Timothy, he's telling him, listen, Timothy, you're my son in the faith, and I would say the same thing to you. Paul, if he was here today, he would say, listen, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, understand that people are trying to pull you away. From within the church, from without the church, they're trying to pull you away. You know it, don't you? You know they are. You really are honest with yourself. They're trying to pull you away. And he says, Timothy, he's like, I want you to guard what God has entrusted to you. And when I think of guard, that's exactly what I picture. You know, I picture setting up a knight on my heart. He said, I want you to guard what he's entrusted you to. Avoid foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's all here. It's all in his precious word. God is so awesome. I know we're still in verse 8. We'll finish in the chapter. That's my hope. Just telling you. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You know, I had an older gentleman, he's not here today either, I think. Well, he's out there helping. I got a text from him this morning. But he said to me, you know what? He said, I'm just realizing, I'm listening to all these people who are getting baptized and they're wanting to serve the Lord. And I'm listening to all these people who are giving their hearts over to the Lord. And it's like, he's like, you know, I got baptized because that was the tradition. That's what we did at that age. And he's like, you know what? I think the Lord is telling me I'm not really right with him. But I just did it because that's what you did. In church. I'm not making this personal profession like they all are. I think he goes, I said, how old are you? He told me he was older than me. He's like, I think I want to get baptized. I said, well, guess what? Next week. I don't know if I'm doing that early. I don't want to put pressure on you, but I'm just saying it's open to you. He said, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it, but I want to get my heart right with the Lord. I said, that's awesome.
Awesome.
It's the Lord, right? Amen. You know, how do you decide? You know, I want you to think about this. I've counseled people for many years, okay? I'll say marriage counseling, okay? I say this truthfully. You might know something different, and if so, that's okay, all right? I've counseled many people in their marriage, okay? And here's one thing I can tell you. Whenever they've gone to a secular counselor, I have never once ever had them come back and not say, after going for a certain amount of time, that they recommend a divorce. They always recommend a divorce. Every time. That's 100% of the time. Unless there's one I'm forgetting. 20 years. Every single time they've gone to say. Now, and honestly, it makes sense. What? You're not happy with that person, right? Well, is it all about you, or is it all about the Lord? Well, if he's not making you happy, if she's not making you happy, well, obviously you guys can't live together, right? So you got to get a divorce. You guys need to live happy lives. You got to be some. The focus is on you, not on the Lord. See, if we're in Christ, well, you're not the big deal. You're to die yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. That means, Joel, as a husband, you're not to be a selfish knucklehead man. You're to serve your wife and to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Heidi, you're not supposed to be trying to, I'm going to rule this house. No, I'm going to respect and love and honor my husband. That's contrary to the world. You know, psychology. You know what, I'm not saying that, like, I have a friend who loves the Lord. He's a behavioral, industrial psychologist, and he studies behavior. And so there are certain things we can learn. But he'll come back and tell you the Word of God is really where it's at. Basically, you know what psychology is? If I remember correctly, psyche is the soul. It's the study of the soul. So when you go to a psychologist, they're trying to tell you and help you with your soul. But they're coming at it from a whole different angle. If they're not in Christ, if they're not in the Word, they don't know any better. They're going to lead you the wrong way. They're not. I'm not saying that they're evil people. They're not. They're probably super well-intended, right? But if they don't know the Lord and they're not grounded in His Word, that's where they're going to lead you. There are principles or patterns. That word principle, it means in that verse 8, you know, the principles, I don't know if you guys have any other thing that it says, but it means like foundations of this world. It means like patterns to it. I remember one time, Natalie, you telling me this, hopefully we'll see if my memory is right or wrong, that you made dresses, or maybe your mom told me that you had made a dress. You were taking a sewing class. Was that you? I'm hoping it was you. Okay. Okay, you were making a dress. Okay. Now, I'm just guessing that you just didn't take a big sheet of material and just said, let me just start cutting. Right? And so, I'm guessing you didn't do that. I'm guessing you had a pattern, right, for that dress that you used to cut out. And that's what it's saying. There's principles to this world. There's a pattern that's trying to fit you into that mold, that it's cutting you out. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to make sure that our pattern is the right one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why? Why is it such a big deal?
Because there's so many times when I will pick up a pattern and I'm like, oh yeah, this is perfect for this. This is perfect for this this fabric or this item, and it does not work with the amount of fabric that I have.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work with the size that I'm needing. So we have to make sure that whatever pattern we choose to use lines up with what God's told us.
Absolutely. Wow, is that a good word? Is that a profound word? Wait, let's give a round of applause. All right, you can turn off that mic. Okay, so here's the thing. So the principles, or when I think of principles or patterns, you know, what are you going to go to? And I'm saying, and God's saying, I want you to go to my word. Go to my word, okay? I know I sound like a broken record, but it's so true. There's patterns, and God has a pattern that He wants you to fit into. Yes, Sue Berger is a wonderful man, right?
Just thinking, we have to be careful, because sometimes we can apply worldly patterns to Christians.
Oh, did you hear that? Sometimes we can apply worldly patterns to Christian things. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
For instance, it's a worldly principle that the more you know, the smarter you are, the better you are. And so sometimes we think that the more scripture we know means we're more spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And that's a worldly principle.
That's exactly right. You could just have a lot of head knowledge. How many people here have met some Christians who had all sorts of theological knowledge, but they were jerks? They weren't kind. They weren't loving. They weren't patient. They weren't bearing the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's so true. But when I think of principles or patterns, I think of this verse, Romans chapter 12. You guys remember it? Mm-hmm. The Bible says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, if you have God's mercy, to offer yourself as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of work. This is what he says in Romans 12, 2. He says, I don't want you to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling me. when I think of conforming to a pattern, that word conform, what does it mean?
Fit in.
What? Fit in?
Adapt.
Adapt.
Comply with.
Comply with.
Change.
Change. Join. Yeah. I looked up the definition, and it just means to act in accordance with the standards, the attitudes, the practices of a society, the character of a society, to act in harmony with it. So he's saying, God's saying, I don't want you to act in accordance with the pattern of this world, with the principles of this world. I don't want you to do it. You're a Christian. You're holy, set apart. You used to live in those ways, right? Don't do it anymore. He wants you to be this guy. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. I don't know if you can see him there. Okay, I used this once before, but see everybody doing the Heil Hitler? What is this guy doing?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nope.
He's speaking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, you know what? Everybody's bowing down to the idol. You know, everybody's doing it. You know what? King, I'm not going to do it, he says. They say, you know, King, our God is able to save us if you throw us in that fire in the book of Daniel. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know we're not going to bow down to that idol because we serve the living God. That's how he wants us to be. Does that make sense? Josh, do you have something? It's only, the word is only used one other time, and it's in 1 Peter 1, 14-16. He says, as obedient children, he's talking to us, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you once lived in ignorance. Now that you're a Christian, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. God's saying, I want you to live a different life, a set apart life. Does that make sense? Okay? Don't conform any longer, okay? That means you used to do it, all right? It's not so bad to say that we shouldn't be prideful, and now that we're Christians, we're born again. Oh, I'm going to look down on you. Because now I'm such a spiritual Christian. I'm so knowledgeable. Look down my nose at you. That's pride, right? Look, you used to do the same things they did, right? Don't think you're any better than anybody else. We're all saved at the foot of the cross. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Whatever we've done. Now, I'm not going to conform to that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Listen, I love the J.D. Phillips translation, and I like it's almost like squeezing that little thing into little molds for baking. This is what it says. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove and practice the plan of God for you as well.
Bless you.
God bless you. And meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of maturity. We live in a time where people call evil good and good evil, right? That's what Isaiah 5:20 says. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we're children of God and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. There's a direction, there's a pattern, there's principles that they're pushing you to. So how much of this word are you getting in, washing you with the good stuff, with the true stuff? You are influenced by things and people around you. Don't be so prideful to think that you're not. You need the word to wash over you, right? To remold your minds. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, do not conform to the pattern. Wait a minute, no, that's sorry. Oh my gosh. Sorry, it's the first verse I ever memorized. Processing standby. My goodness, I'm forgetting it. Maybe that's age.
No, much knowledge. You can remember it all.
All right, somebody look it up. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. Somebody read it for me.
Love the world.
Okay, here you go. Thank you, Sue. Nice and loud. Do you not love the world?
Try the mic again.
Oh, what? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Amen. So don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So put off the conforming to the world, put on what the Word says, and renew your mind. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Proverbs 23:7. There is no way I'm going to get through this chapter. Proverbs 4 says, be careful about what you think, because your thoughts run your life. That's why as newborn babies, we're to crave the pure milk of the Word, that you can grow thereby. Because all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God will be thoroughly equipped for everything work. Oh, we, you know, Scripture's nice, but we don't really have, no, it's foundational. I was talking to a Christian, I'll just say at some point in my life, that way I don't get hurt. And my wife and I were talking to this Christian, and we said, hey, the Bible says that we love you very much, and we went into this whole story about how much we love you, but they were doing something that was wrong, and they did a lot of damage, and multiple times they broke their word, about 6 times or 7 times by that time. And we talked to them, and we said, hey, the only 2 scriptures we used was, the Bible also says, as much as we love you, speak the truth in love. That's Ephesians 4:15. So that means that our friend is going to tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else comes from the wicked one. And you're saying these things, and you're doing just the opposite. And it's causing, you would have thought that I stabbed this person and her family in the heart. I got you. What kind of preacher would ever say, hit a missile at my wife with Scripture? Who are you? No one does that. Who's the... The Word of God is used for teaching, rebuking, correct. That's exactly what it's used for. Nobody screamed at the person. Nobody yelled at the person. We just said, hey, the Bible says yes, and here's what you're doing. They didn't want to hear that. And so, dare you use the Word of God to correct and to... And I was like, we would train our 5-year-old with this verse. This is what it's used for, folks. Okay, I'm still off book right now. Okay, Isaiah 48. Oceans will rise, kingdoms will fall, but the word of our Lord stands forever. As you put off the world, don't conform to the pattern of this world, the principles of it. Be transformed, right? Put on the word of God, the renewing of your mind, by faith. Hide his word in your heart so you won't sin against him. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. Now, maybe you don't know it because you really don't know enough of his word. You can't figure it out. You're floundering. Okay. Verse 8. We're going to speed up this thing. I won't. Okay, here's a good way. It's good stuff, though. Verse 9, Colossians 2:8 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In other words, these people at Colossae were trying to say Jesus is less than he is and blah, blah, blah. He's saying, no, man. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, the Word made flesh. And he says even more than that in verse 10, that you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every... over every power and authority, or some of your translations might say that in him you've been made complete. You've been given fullness in Christ. Listen, the more that you're giving your heart and your life over to him, the more you're going to find your fulfillment, your purpose. You're complete in him. If you feel like you're not really a full person, ask yourself, Lord, are there areas of my life where I haven't? Because he will pour upon you grace upon grace, Ephesians says. He will fill you up with his word, his spirit. He wants you, your self-will, to decrease so that he can increase. He wants to bubble up in you like living water, that will just become to you a wealth of living, cool, refreshing water to other people around you. Not knowledge around you, right? Living water. That's your pencil. Sorry, Sean. That's good. I hate your foot. Just He's given you fullness, it says in Colossians 2:9. Listen, I love this in 2 Peter 1:3. Everything, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory. Listen, there is so much power that He has put in you. The Bible says that that same power that raised Christ from the dead, if you are born again, lives in you. Here's what I'm thinking. How many of you really understand? I'm not even saying I do. How much that power, that fullness is in us. Have you ever asked, Lord, will you just gift me with whatever gift your Holy Spirit wants? Will you just fill me with whatever? But here's the thing. It's almost like my wife makes this amazing pasta dinner. Okay, if you've never had it, homemade sauce. Some of you have had it, it's amazing. And I still remember the time that I was so hungry, I didn't eat breakfast one time, and I knew my wife was making this amazing meal. It's like a, I don't know, $7,500 meal. And I was so hungry by lunchtime that I went to Burger King. And I got, either Whopper or bacon double cheeseburgers, and fries. And I was so full on that that when I got home, and I felt, you know how you always feel like, it's like eating at Five Guys. You know, you're all so excited when you get there, and afterwards you're like dripping grease from the fry, and you're like, why did I eat that? And by the time I got home, even though I had this amazing meal in front of me, I was so full of the junk. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I'm saying the person next to me. Maybe we're so full of the junk of this world, we're allowing into our hearts and our lives. I appreciate my sister Carrie's testimony. I want to rebuke her in the flesh, but in the spirit, it's like, wow, praise the Lord. If you didn't hear it this morning, maybe we're so full of what this world has for us, and we're putting that in our heads, that we don't have enough room to even understand that God fills us up with so much more. He's got so much for you if you allow Him to fill you. Your choice. He's not going to force feed you. He loves you. What?
The media forces you.
The media will force feed you. Ah, you can still check it out. Mm-hmm. I say that to me too, we're media hounds. Come on.
It's just not this week there.
That's perfect.
All right, let's just leave it at that. Had every good intention. See, I could race through this in 5 minutes.
You look forward to next week.
Yeah, that's true. I could do that too. Yeah. All right. So let's just, guys, see to it that no one takes you down to the hollow and deceptive philosophy that depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ, the fullness of the deity dwells, and that fullness has been given to you as a gift. And so I guess my encouragement would be for you, as you leave this place and you go right back to your daily lives, maybe just take 1 second. We all just close our eyes for a second. We all just ask the Lord in our own way if He would fill us with Him. He would do whatever it takes to empty us of ourselves and of the junk, to fill us with Him, that He could show us what that fullness means. If He could help us to understand that power, that we could walk in the full power of His Holy Spirit. Ask Him that. Ask Him to show you. Ask Him to teach you. Every time you open His Word, you still have to choose to open it, but ask Him to teach you. Every time you come here, you speak to me, Jesus, through this donkey of a pastor. Will you speak to me, the King of the universe? Will you speak to me as I open up this word and by faith read it and watch my mind in it every day. Will you help me, Lord, to have the strength to open it up and to read it every day? Not because I have to or because the pastor guilted me into it, but because I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me, Lord. And I want to live fully for you and overflow my life, which is really now your life, into other people. And I pray that for this body, Lord, that that would be their prayer to you, and that you would help them to be so filled with you, your heart, your word, and your Holy Spirit, that they could overflow into the lives of those around them. Rooted and established in love, built up, bearing fruit that will last. We ask for your blessing this week on everybody who's here, everybody who's serving, everybody who's not here, for whatever reason. Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Baptism at the church next Sunday.
Yes.
You better be sure.
I was getting baptized.